Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. We'll explore important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of Michael Collins, Taylor Tagg, Tom Too Tall Cunningham, Ray Stendel, Dave Yablecki, and myself. My name is Tracy Montgomery. Our broadcast team here at Journey to Success Radio Network share a common trait in that we all follow Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles to Success. Information about our team can be found on our website, which is journeytosuccessradio.com. Today, I am very excited to feature Haley Wickenheiser on our Journey to Success Radio Network show. Four-time Olympic medalist Haley Wickenheiser is regarded as one of the best female hockey players in the world, with an uncompromised determination and dedication to her sport. However, it's not just her lethal slapshot that's respected by her teammates, fans, and peers. Haley is also an award winner, community leader, mentor, history maker, and an accomplished businesswoman. It all started at age 15 in Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, when Haley was chosen for the Canadian women's national team. She has since led the squad to 6 gold and 1 silver medal at the Women's World Hockey Championships. As an Olympian, she earned a silver medal at the 1998 Winter Olympics and 3 Olympic gold medals in 2002, 2006, and most recently at the Vancouver 2010 Winter Olympics. Accompanying all that hardware, Haley was also named the tournament's most valuable player in 2002 and 2006 victorious Olympic runs, as well as in numerous ESSO Women's Hockey Championships. Haley Wickenheiser has proved to be an elite athlete time and time again. Sports Illustrated recently named her number 20 of the top 25 toughest athletes in the world. She is also a 2-time finalist for the Women's Sports Foundation Team Athlete of the Year, and was recently named for the second time among Globe and Mail's Power 50 Influencers in Sport. Most recently, QMI Agency named Haley among the top 10 greatest female athletes in the history of sports. In January 2003, Haley made hockey history when she became the first hockey player to notch a point in a men's professional game for the Kirkkonummen Salmet of the Finnish 2nd Division. Along with hockey, Wickenheiser has mastered a number of sports. An elite softball player, she participated in the 2000 Summer Olympics as a member of Team Canada and worked as a softball analyst with CBC's coverage of the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics. Haley's passion for sport is paralleled by her drive to give back to the community in several ways, particularly to organizations with a commitment to youth, such as Kids Sport, Right to Play, Dreams Take Flight, Queen Air Champions, and Spread the Net. In May 2007, Haley traveled to Rwanda with a team of Canadian Olympic athletes for Right to Play, an athlete-driven humanitarian organization. Putting her pursuit of a Bachelor of Science at the University of Calgary to good use, Wickenheiser has led numerous projects with the goal of raising the profile of women's hockey around the world. She is also currently a kinesiology student at the University of Calgary with the ambition of attending medical school and becoming a doctor. Haley Wickenheiser lives in Calgary, Alberta, and is a very proud mom to her son, Noah. Welcome, Haley. It is wonderful to have you on our Journey to Success Radio Network show.
Thanks for having me.
Haley, on our Journey to Success Radio Network, I'd like to just begin by asking about books you've read. All of us here at the Journey to Success Radio Network share a common trait. We're all Napoleon Hill fans. But I wondered if you had any books that you felt made an impact in your life, maybe contributed to your success.
I've read lots of books over the years. Lately, most of the books I read seem to have to do with the university courses that I'm taking, trying to finish up my degree. So I've spent a lot of time recently studying for the MCAT, but I like to read a lot of autobiographies on different people. One of the last books I read was the book that Bill Clinton wrote. I just recently finished rereading the book called The Game by Ken Dryden, and Yeah, those are sort of the two most recent books that I've read, but I do enjoy reading, and not as much for pleasure as I'd like to, just because I am still taking courses.
Right. Haley, your accomplishments and how you paved the path for girls hockey around the world is remarkable. Do you remember the first time you put on skates?
I do. I was young. I was 3-4 years old. My dad and mom were both school teachers, and I was always at the arena. They were involved in the community, whether it was curling or my dad played old-timers hockey. And so I remember I got my first pair of bob skates, the double-bladed skates that I put on. And yeah, and just skating. Actually, my dad built an outdoor rink for us, my younger brother and sister and myself, and all the local kids in the neighborhood. So I learned how to skate on the outdoor ice, and that was pretty much it for me.
Tell us a little bit about your parents, because parents dedicate a considerable amount of time and money to their children's sports activities. How did your parents handle being the parent of an elite athlete in both summer and winter sports?
Well, I think from a very young age, my mom and dad were very much there for me all the time. They're very present in everything I did, but yet they weren't overbearing. They didn't push me into anything or live their dreams through me, so to speak. In fact, at times, you know, they would often say to me, "Are you sure you want to keep doing this? You know, it's really hard. It's a lot of stress, especially when I was, you know, as a female on all-boys teams and BASM and midget age groups." But they were just always there, and they deflected a lot of criticism away from me as I was a kid growing up, often being the only girl playing boys hockey. And then as I got older, they let me make my own decisions. When I was 15, they gave me the choice to either start with the national team or to go back and play one more year with the Canada Games team, which were kids my age, and I chose start right with the national team. So they've always been there. They've always been big proponents of, we don't really care what you do, but you have to be active and do something. And you know, now they come to most of the world championships. They've come to all the Olympic games, whether it's summer or winter, and they're just really good supporters.
Oh, that's great. Certainly makes a difference, and hats off to all the parents listening, because that love and support I think goes a long way in just developing who you are as a person. And having that cornerstone, just especially as a young child, just knowing the love and the unconditional love from your parents in your corner, it certainly helps with confidence, especially in the early years.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the evolution of hockey and women's hockey, because when we were children, women's hockey, organized hockey, was virtually unheard of. I mean, unless you were on a backyard pond, like you were mentioning at the beginning, or joining a girl on a boys' team, the girls' hockey did not exist, and that wasn't too long ago. Are you surprised at the popularity of girls' hockey, and not just in Canada, but worldwide?
No, I'm not. I think that it's been a good, steady growth of the game. We saw the first Women's World Championships were in 1990 in Ottawa, you know, where they wore the pink uniforms, and, you know, sort of a novelty thing, and just how successful they were selling out the games there. And now what we see is, after each Olympic Games, the growth in the game almost doubles by 50% in the registration numbers in Canada and the U.S. especially, but overseas, especially when those teams have success in countries like Finland and Sweden, the growth of the game is much greater. So I'm not really surprised. I think women's hockey has actually grown faster in the same amount of time than men's hockey has, but we have, you know, the tradition and the growth of the game to look back on. Anyways, thanks for that. So it's come a long way. It's a great game, and there's a lot of opportunities now for young girls if they want to play hockey.
Absolutely. And as a child, many of us had dreams about becoming an Olympic gold medal champion. And I'm curious about your dreams when you were a child. Do you remember dreaming of winning a gold medal at a man's hockey game or hockey team, or did you think that women's hockey would evolve to this point of becoming its own official Olympic sport and you'd win gold among a strong group of women?
Well, I didn't even know that girls played hockey till I was about 12 years old, because in where I lived there was only a couple of us that played, and I didn't know there was a national team or that, you know, anybody outside my little bubble in Saskatchewan was playing hockey. So I dreamed of lifting the Stanley Cup, but I also had the opportunity in '88 to come to Calgary with my family and watch the Olympics. And I got a chance to go to one event, which was ski jumping, and it was Matti Nykänen, who was the famous Finnish ski jumper that won all the gold medals in Calgary. He was sort of my hero, and I kind of dreamed that I was going to go to the Olympics someday. I just didn't know what sport. So hockey was sort of one of the sports that I dreamed that I would go to the Olympics in, but it wasn't the only one when I was a kid.
Okay. Haley, the psychological side of being a professional elite athlete, many feel is the most difficult part. The mental attitude of believing you're the best, you deserve to win, handling the negative criticism, it's very, very difficult for a lot of people. I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about the psychological side, and was it difficult for you? And if it was there anyone that helped you along the way, maybe helped you believe in yourself?
You know, for sure, I think that the biggest part about being a top athlete is the consistency day in and day out and doing what it takes. It's so easy to just turn it on and turn it off for different events and things like that, but to really have a long career and a lot of success over many years, I think it's the ability to find a way to bring it every day. So that's probably the most challenging thing, and I think that's why you have to look for inspiration in all different areas of life. I mean, for me, it's not just, you know, it doesn't just end with sport. There's a lot of different people I've met through the years, and, you know, they don't have to be famous names or anybody that people would know, but that just inspire you. And so I think it's important to take inspiration every single day from wherever you can, even if it's, you know, waking up in the morning and you don't feel like hitting the hills for a run and suddenly it's a beautiful day or the flowers are out or something, and just find something to kind of keep you going. And
yeah.
That certainly has propelled me as I've gotten older as an athlete. But I think, yeah, just the mental state is so important. Not only that, but I think it's also important to get out of your comfort zone a lot and do things that kind of scare you and take you away from what you're normally used to, because that's where growth really happens.
Absolutely. Haley, we mentioned earlier in the intro that you competed in many Olympic gold medal games, and I'm wondering, with the pressure of these games, was it the same in all of them? Like, after you did your first Olympic gold medal game, was the second one a little bit easier after you'd already done it once?
Well, I think it's easier in the sense that you know what to expect, and so maybe you waste less energy on things that would have been, you know, more energy draining in your first or early Olympics. Like, you know, you want to make sure you take it all in and get a picture of everything and all that kind of stuff. And as you go through the Olympics, that changes really quick, and, you know, you realize what you're there to do. But as far as, you know, each Olympics is unique. It has its own set of pressures and challenges that go with it. I find that the success that we've had in winning the last three Olympic gold medals, each one, the pressure sort of mounts because you're defending Olympic gold medals, which is a lot harder to do than trying to win your first one. So
yeah.
I think, and, you know, playing in Canada, playing in front of Canadian fans is certainly a whole different ballgame than it was in my first Olympics in 98 going into Japan, where women's hockey was the first time ever. So they're all unique. I don't think it gets necessarily easier from a pressure standpoint, but you certainly know how to manage your energy, I think, a lot better as you have experience.
Right. And speaking of those Olympic Games, there's one team that you guys always go head-to-head with, and it's the U.S., and it's just a known rivalry, Canada and the U.S. in women's hockey. Both teams are very strong. When you look at the rosters here, they're both filled with talent, drive, determination to win. But there is a difference that Canada has been able to lead the gold medal way, and I'm wondering why you think that is. Why does Canada have that edge?
Well, I think it goes back to the mentality that we talked about a little bit earlier. I think that, you know, skill-wise, we're pretty close on paper. On any given day, it usually is within one goal, but we have the edge over the years, I think, primarily in the fact that we know how to use emotion and we know how to use energy and just passion, intangibles to our advantage, I think, a little bit better than the U.S. does. And often, you know, those things are really what separates you from winning or losing, not necessarily just, you know, skill or, you know, the ability to put the puck in the net. So hockey is a game where you need discipline, emotion, and skill to be a great player and a great team. And I think we've had the edge on that just a little bit more than the U.S. has over the years.
Haley, many athletes have disappointments along the road, and I'm wondering what maybe some of your disappointments were during your career, and how were you able to deal with them?
Well, I think the biggest disappointment early on was losing the gold in 98 to the U.S. My first Olympics, I was 19 years old. And didn't really know how to deal with it. I felt like I failed all of Canada and my family and friends, and sort of went into an Olympic depression, I guess, if you will, after those Olympics. And then, you know, throughout the years, there's been a variety of different disappointments, losing world championships, and things don't always go the way you want them to. In fact, I think in sports and hockey, probably lose more than you actually win at times. So it's really the biggest thing is about the perspective that you take. And I think you can't get too high when you win and have success, and you can't get too low when you lose. You've got to just pick out what you did right, what you did wrong, and be very proactive in fixing them moving forward so that you can, you know, prepare yourself best chance to have success the next time around.
Absolutely. Haley, you're a mom, and let's talk about that side of you. You've got a son, Noah. Tell us some of the joys about being a mom. What are some of the activities you guys like to do together now?
Well, he's such a bright kid, and he's so different, I guess, in terms of interests than I am. So it's great for me because he pulls me into a lot of different areas that I wouldn't normally choose to. He is a big lover of history and art, and so we often are, wherever we go, we're in museums and art shows and things like that, which is kind of neat for me. And he's a competitive swimmer, so I spend a lot of time at the pool watching him swim and going to different swim meets. So, you know, from that standpoint, he's sort of his own guy, and he's got his own interests, which is great. And the biggest thing for me is I really don't care what he does. I just want him to be happy and find a passion that he can pursue and something he enjoys to do.
That's great. We've got our Calgary Centennial Stampede coming up. Are you guys going to enjoy some of those activities this year?
We might catch the tail end, but I think we'll be in Europe for most of it. So
okay.
Unfortunately, we won't see too much of it, I don't think.
Haley, let's talk a little bit about your foundation, the Wickenheiser Foundation. It focuses on initiatives that provide resources to youth, women in sport, and the environment. When did you create that foundation, and how can people get involved?
Well, we're still actually in the process of finalizing all of the logistics around it, but sort of there's two, I guess, objectives of the foundation is to, you know, help young girls and young athletes in general get into sport. And through that, I've created the Wickenheiser International Hockey Festival, which we have. We had last year about 75 teams from around the world come in Burnaby, and it'll be in Burnaby this year, November 17th to the 21st. It's for teams, novice, right through midget, and in every division. And it's not just a hockey tournament, but it focuses on the holistic development of the hockey player. So we have them doing off-ice sessions like nutrition, equipment, physical training, you know, education in hockey, things like that. And we bring in some of the best names in hockey to help with us. And then the second part of it is the charitable component, which we give all the proceeds to Kids Sport and Right to Play, which are two charities that are very dear to my heart and I can relate a lot to. And so I guess, you know, through that, I really believe, through my foundation, I believe that, you know, sport has given me so much in my life that so I love to be able to give back, but at the same time, I think you're not just a hockey player, that you're so much more than that. You're a whole person that has, you know, emotional and spiritual side to it, and I think that we try to just develop the players so that they can really round themselves out as an athlete and hopefully give other kids opportunities to do the same.
That's great. And just speaking of Right to Play, I know in May 2007, you traveled to Rwanda with a Canadian team of Olympic athletes. With that organization, and it's an athlete-driven humanitarian organization. What do you remember most about that trip?
Oh, well, boy, I've now had a chance to go with Right to Play twice. I was able to take Noah, and we went to Ghana last year as well for 5 days. But my first trip to Rwanda was really impactful. I mean, Rwanda's the site of the genocide, you know, where so many people were wiped out. 90% of their population is under the age of 35, and they're just such a young country just trying to rebuild from the devastation. So to see and meet children who are maybe 7, 8 years old, raising younger siblings by themselves, or children that survive by living off garbage piles, and to see the way that sport can come in and really teach them to trust again, to learn about hygiene, how to protect themselves from HIV, AIDS, and malaria, things like that. And it's really amazing just how simple sport and play, but how simple it is, but how impactful it is, and how it changes these kids' lives. And I saw, you know, when we go overseas, people say, well, why do you go? Well, the reason is so that you can see what's actually being done. You can come home and champion for it. And having been there twice, I know the impact. They're doing a great job. It's a great organization.
That's great. Haley, what does the future hold for you?
Well, right now I'm still playing, and we're in the off season, but I'll be pursuing playing in the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, and no plans to retire. And as well, I'm finishing up my kinesiology degree at the University of Calgary, and I'm preparing to write the MCAT exams this coming September for medical school. So if I'm not in hockey, I'll hopefully be in med school pursuing that.
Well, congratulations. That's great. Haley, our last question for you today. How do you want to be remembered?
I think I'd just like to be remembered as, you know, somebody who worked hard in the sense of as a hockey player, but someone who was able to impact the sport and other people's lives by just doing what I do best, which is playing the game. So I guess if I can be buried with that on my tombstone, that would be okay with me.
Well, Haley, you're an inspiration to many, and it's far past just girls and women. I mean, you inspire Canadians across the board here because you overcame the odds. I mean, a lot of people never dreamed, absolutely never dreamed that someone could conquer the sport of hockey like you did in so many different ways, not only with men but in the men's league, but with women. And you've inspired many, many women and people across the globe here to overcome, just stick with whatever they're trying to overcome. And we can look to people like you who've done it, and it's extremely inspirational. I feel very lucky to have the privilege of speaking with you this morning, and I wish you all the best with everything coming up here in the future.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tracy. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, Haley. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.